Last week, parishioner and director of the Loyola Institute of Ministry, Tom Ryan, brought us about as close as digitally possible, offering a Zoom-based and faith-based presentation on that thing we have all gotten quite in touch with these last 70-something days, nature, or as we Christians like to call it, creation. When we're tethered, as we are, to our plot of land, nature becomes quite the entertainment. Better yet, creation can become quite the source of spirituality. I most appreciated Tom's presentation for making the digital and remote personal. Filling his slides were pictures of St. Rita's Church. Details our quarantined eyes should be good enough now to pick up on. The loaves and fish on the front facade of the church, a rose on a corner fitting, a deer in one of the stained glass windows. They all groan and yearn for salvation, as St. Paul puts it. They all are not just decorating, but really sanctifying a church near you. Conveniently, Tom did not include my two favorite St. Rita creation-related images. One of a stained glass donkey with its three-letter synonym preserved in written form these last 70-some years somewhere located in this church. I'm told I can't really preach on that or acceptable language in the 1950s, so I'll move quickly on to image number two, the peacock. That's right. On the lower right-hand corner of our brilliant Christ the King window is a peacock sitting on a globe. Aside from possibly being covert Tottenham Hotspur advertising, what gives here? When we think of biblical birds, it's the olive branch-carrying dove, or the strike-the-breast-to-feed-the-nest pelican that probably first flap to mind. But the peacock, not just a Leander's neighborhood pet, peacocks hold specific Christian meaning, particularly today. If Jesus is flying away, after all, let's see him with a resurrection bird alongside this morning. How peacocks became a symbol of this season of resurrection owes some to pre-Christian myth. It was thought that the peacock never decayed, even after death, something so beautiful, outshining even natural processes. Imagery the early Christians readily co-opted, seeing Jesus as the true peacock. Slightly more scientific, only slightly here, the medievals took it a step further. It was believed peacocks could kill and eat poisonous serpents, and so transform the colors of their plumage to even more beautiful adornments by doing so. Think here of the poison of the cross, Jesus' risen body flying past his merely human flesh through such terrible means. There's one more way peacocks are a helpful Christian image, but first, let's feel the ground beneath our feet once again and remember where we are, not flying ourselves, but watching alongside the 11 this morning, watching Jesus' ascension. We hear the last words of Matthew's gospel today, and it's kind of a strange conclusion. We get the actual ascension movement in our Acts of the Apostles reading, which Bob proclaimed to us as our first reading today, the companion piece to Luke's gospel. But for Matthew, this is it. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age, fade to black. This is what Jesus leaves the apostles, what he leaves us before he himself leaves. reassurance, which of course we need, but mission is what this is all about. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So listen to that. Make disciples, baptize, teach. We focus a lot on the second two, don't we? When we're asked about the state of our parish, it's often code for numbers. How many people are receiving the sacraments? How many families are being taught in the school? How many more attendance clicks until we get to a full house even? We didn't threaten that this morning. But those two are really at the service of the first. We have the gift of the sacraments, the tradition of our intellectual rigor, so that we can be disciples, so that we can make disciples. Jesus talks about all nations, but we can't hear a quota in that. What he's saying is to discipleize the world, make truer, fuller witness possible. Put another way, live this ascension moment by living through your inner peacock. I told you there was one other pretty peacock point to make. For the most part, peacocks are an average-looking bird. Don't let Lori Conkerton fool you on the way out of Mass today. Like 16 million other people, I watched some 10-minute YouTube video this week, or at least the first 45 seconds of it, of peacocks touching down in some peacock park in southern China. Bird after bird flapping its brown feathers over the water, reaching land, and then walking around outside. This isn't the peacock that stupefies us. This is just a rather normal-looking bird. It's the peacock that uses its other feathers, those non-flying ones, the plumage shot upright, with blues and greens and golds shot through. These are, we know, the same birds as the first, walking around like any other, but possessing something beautiful, often hidden from sight. Welcome to life as a Christian, we who should and do appear very similar to anyone else in terms of our challenges, our frustrations, our circumstances, but have something brilliant in us capable of popping through. The peacock is an image of resurrection, of the transformation of the cross, of, for us, this Ascension Day, a disciple. So, how does my inner beauty shine through? When is the last time I've marveled at the goodness of another? How do I make disciples in my day-to-day peacock-popping style? The ascension can be filled with feelings of absence. Don't overlook those moments of brilliance, though. Jesus' parting words give us a lasting image, one captured some in that right-hand corner of a stained glass, one captured hopefully more in our lives.